Blog Talk Radio.
Better.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
New age, I take it.
Sort of grasp the melancholy of the country at the moment. Thank you for tuning in out there, folks. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters with Jack Jodell and F. Wayne Johnson and myself, Gwen Lunberry. And we're going to be talking about today specifically at some point. Wayne, why don't you bring up your point? This is
perfect. Oh, okay. I was going to say, for those of the listening audience, I had sent out a little, my thoughts for the week of some of the topics and stuff. And one of the things that's been kind of current, and it's been really on the Facebook and that kind of social media, is, of course, they're blaming Obama. He's pushing and trying to run out coal-burning power plants. And he's using the EPA to do it, and oh, it's going to cost us more in electricity and stuff like this. One of the points I want to bring out is it costs a lot of money. Coal is an antiquated fuel source for generating electricity. There's matter of fact, the engineering firm I'm with just finished up a project in Northern California which uses solar energy. They're opening up an office in Tucson where another whole solar array is being developed. The whole Midwest, from the western part of Ohio on down through the grain belt of the Midwest, there's nothing but a bunch of windmills going up generating electricity in the wind. And our Midwest area is the best conditions for wind-powered generation.
Mm-hmm.
Holland, which is not a stranger to windmills, is generating 100% of their needs of electric power through windmills, and they're selling their excess to Germany. So that's just kind of giving you the background. There are alternatives to coal as they're being phased out because of the sulfur dioxide, which is sulfuric acid. This is what bricklayers use to clean the concrete off of bricks, and that's what's in the atmosphere, and we're breathing it. It's falling into our lakes, killing fish from the high rises. And then there's those who want to point to, and it's a divertive argument, which is a big pitfall when you're using logical argumentation, is, well, look at China over there. They're building all kinds of coal plants, and they're spewing more coal than we are. Well, that's the difference between leadership and following.
Yeah. If somebody jumps off a roof, does that mean you have to, too? That's insane.
There you go.
But we know it, but they don't know it. Some of those proponents of that don't know it. You know, it is a serious issue, and your point about Holland is very good because, man, they you know, in most of Europe where they have a natural resource to deal with, they will deal with it. They don't have special interests colliding against it and conniving to make money for themselves and exclude it. No, they implement it as quickly as they can, and that's to their credit.
Very good.
I think, Jack, you'd have to take into consideration what the good people of Greece and Spain and Portugal might say about that. But as far as energy industry and the government and who gets what from who, I think they feel more like your side of the fence. But some countries over there really, really do take an integrity walk, especially Northern Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Holland,
Germany
Finland, Sweden, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, definitely, no doubt about it. They're not conniving against the poorer countries in Europe the way Germany is, and even France to a certain extent has been neutralized kind of in the argument. And they with a socialist premier.
Well, and here's another point I'd like to bring up, too, is, you know, when people say, coal is just so cheap and stuff. Well, you know what? It takes a lot of money to remove half of a mountaintop to get to the final last remains of the coal vein that had been within the mountains. But
it's
that's not taking in the total whole cost. We're talking about the medical cost of breathing respiratory problems,
not only
in this country but in other countries. And here is a fact. Air pollution kills over 4,000 people every day in China.
That's right. Very true.
Right. And
they've
traced it back
to
the industrial zones.
In Beijing, it is just horrible.
Yeah. Exactly. They have to walk around with masks because the pollution particles are so extreme that basically it is tearing up their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, you know, and of course, so this is the reality check here, people, when they say that, Obama's just trying to run out the hydrocarbon industry.
Well,
no,
that's the key old Obama bad, Obama bad people. No matter what he does,
right.
It's Obama bad. You know, that's getting very tiring. It's getting as tiring as his, on the flip side, as his pandering to conservative groups and Wall Street has been over the years. But let's call a spade here, and it's not Obama bad at all. It's Obama being smart.
Did you really say that, Jack?
Well,
we know that wasn't in the application.
You know, I didn't mean it. It just kind of flew out.
Yeah, no, he was saying, I'm calling him out. We all know that. So.
Right, yeah.
But as soon as he said it, I thought, bad choice of words. Yeah, we're going to have to clear that one up.
Way, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to have to clear that one up. But anyway. And
I was actually thinking of an actual digging implement called a spade. I wasn't thinking at all about the black implementation.
Hey, Jack, when you're standing in the hole, put down the shovel, okay? You're digging a beaver hole, buddy.
Just don't throw me a spade.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Well, I apologize to anybody that may have construed it that other way.
Excuse me, Wayne. Jack, go ahead.
Absolutely no, you meant no disrespect to the president.
Of course not.
Sure, of course we do. Of course we do.
You may not agree with politically or anything, but that was just sort of a Freudian thing or something.
Well, what I was trying to say was actually that let's call the truth the truth here, and that we're not talking about how bad he is. We're talking about he's doing a good thing.
I was going to say, let's not go into a hoe, because that'll be another whole subject.
Oh, boy.
We have hit the gutter now. We are in a plummeting spiral. But anyway, in summation, what I do want to bring up is, when they talk about the cost of coal energy, they are not taking into consideration the deforestation of the conifer trees, which are very susceptible to sulfur dioxide, acid rain, and killing the trees off. I can show you whole areas in West Virginia that have had deforestation because of acid rain.
We're getting a delay.
Yes, we are. I hear that. We were getting a delay there, Glenn. An echo. Right. We can point to the lakes of the northeast section of upstate New York, Catskills and stuff, where they have to go in and replenish and restock lakes because the sulfur dioxide, the sulfur acid, got so high in the waters that it killed the fish.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, and of course, the medical aspect of children, old people, even middle-aged adults, having the respiratory problems and the medical bills. Asthma has jumped because of it.
Yeah.
And all these other things. And these are all now. Now we come in the medical. So in essence, we as a nation, the populace, is subsidizing this coal industry because, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll say
lobbyists,
it, there is no such thing
pressure.
As clean energy, clean coal energy.
Oh, what a lie that is.
That is not there. They can put scrubbers on it. They can try to remove the sulfuric acid and stuff. But still, the CO2 that it's bellowing out, if you just want to touch that, is more so than with the natural gas.
Clean coal is a myth, you know.
Right. So.
But they still use that.
So when you hear people wanting to bash about the EPA overstepping their bounds of trying to control, and the thing is, and many utilities, because of the costs, have been divesting themselves of coal-burning power plants. They're just letting them shut down. They'll eventually tear them down, and because they're going to be building new, the newer technologies, the the natural gas coal-fired power plants.
Mm-hmm.
An example being of that is you can build it right over top of your fuel source. So you don't have to dig it. You don't have to have railroad cars hauling tons and tons of the coal to the power plant. And then once it's burned, then they have to find a place to dump the fly ash. This is all very expensive.
Not only that, but I mean, let's talk about how the EPA turned, you know, in their inspections at the Gold King mine in Colorado this past, well, it's been about 8 days or so.
Yeah,
dumping
three million gallons
of mine sludge into it. That was the EPA, by the way. I mean,
yeah,
the EPA, you know, is absolutely, you should see this. The river in Colorado that was pristine that is now burnt and charred.
Oh,
and
yeah, it's very, it looks like baby poop. It's terrible.
Right. And it's, and the thing is, that stuff is high in arsenic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we
all
probably remember the old movie Arsenic and Old Lace.
So there
arsenic is a very toxic poison.
But
we're also talking about, we're also talking about a lot of heavy metal toxins in that also.
All carcinogenic.
The ecosystem has been destroyed on that river and in that river bank for how long? Don't know. Simply don't know.
So it finally flushes out. Right. Well, it's still pouring out of the mine because they really don't know how much. Basically, what they did was break through a dam of this toxic water waste from the processing of the gold that's been there for decades. And now it's flushing into the river. I don't think they really know how much subterranean water that's pouring out now is actually within that mine.
And what community is suffering the most from it right away? Their crops are being poisoned. That's Navajo country, man. That's the nation.
Absolutely.
They're screwing the nations again. I mean, this is...
Right.
And it's not a small thing either. It's a whole riverbank.
It's so pervasive. It's so widespread. You know, in all areas of the country, we see this stuff. It's the needy. It's the greedy turning people into the needy, and it is so absolutely unnecessary. God, when are people going to get their heads screwed on right? You know, correctly.
Well, and then take a look at the fantastic film work we got from China this week.
Oh,
I mean,
Jack, I'm going to let you run with that one.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Talking about the big explosions of improperly handling toxic and highly volatile materials that basically has destroyed that Chinese town.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, you know, China, you know, that's, you know what it is? It's state-sponsored capitalism, and they call it communism. It's not. It's capitalism on steroids. Highly controlled, highly regulated, their way just to generate profit. And they will do anything. They'll overlook anything they can as long as they can make a buck off it or whatever their currency is. I forget the name of it.
No checks and balances there.
No checks and balances whatsoever. And you hear about this stuff every few years in China. There's always something going on that's crazy because they have what they're breeding over there is what they're trying to do here. They're trying to create just a tiny few very extremely wealthy people while making a really minuscule middle class, but they're trying to make it just a huge huge amount of profit to go into the hands of a very few individuals. And you know what, and they're all state approved people, and it's just it's just a horrible situation. We've got to resist that here. And this TPP and all this stuff they're talking about, it's going to do the same thing here. It's going to put all the power, economic, legal, governmental, and everything into the hands of a few corporate entities. And a few people are going to benefit, and everybody else is going to suffer. That's why we've got to fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah, but I think it's important to talk about the event because it does make a big difference in terms of global health.
Oh, yeah.
The drone shot that was taken 2 days ago that showed smoke rising over these charred buildings. And is it pronounced Tianjin or is it Xinjiang, right?
X is pronounced like it's an S, isn't it? Xinjiang?
Xinjiang.
You know, I'm not sure of the pronunciation. I'm not fluent in Mandarin or whatever dialect that is. I'm not sure. But all I know is that what occurred where it occurred is detrimental really globally and specifically to that area right there. And it's just terrible. We can't keep doing this stuff. We can't keep polluting our airs and our water and our atmosphere the way we've been doing. It's so suicidal. And when are people going to wake up and realize this?
Here's the gentlemen. I mean, this factory, this warehouse actually exploded with toxic chemicals that China is not forthcoming about releasing what was and wasn't blowing up there.
Well, they never are forthcoming about disasters. Same way with Russia.
Yeah, Russia, right. So
it's
like pulling teeth to get any real information out.
I was going to say some of the biggest casualties were the firefighters that ran in to try to put the fire out. They were breathing toxic smoke that just basically killed them on the spot.
And it was mainly ammonium nitrate, potassium nitrate, and calcium carbide that was in the big blasts, the huge ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the fertilizer that you can make your own homemade. That's what was the gut nut that drew the bomb and blew up the
Oklahoma City?
That's what he was using.
McVeigh and those guys.
That was his raw materials to ignite the explosion.
Right.
It was just amazing to watch the cell camera footage of the explosions happening. I mean, that was incredible from my point of view. Oh my God, what the heck is that?
Well, there's all kinds of economic genocide going on in this world, as well as regular genocide. On the topic of genocide, I'd like to mention something I saw this past week. It was courtesy of Pirate Television, which is one of the independent documentaries or shows that appear frequently on Free Speech TV. And I saw it on Free Speech, actually. And it dealt with a Jewish man, a Jewish novelist by the name of, Ben Rosenthal. I think that's it. He's an author. He's written several books, and he's worked for the New York Times. He's written in The Nation. He's written in all the leading lefty newspapers, as well as the New York Times and stuff like that. And he did a book last year, 2014. It was released last year. It was called The 51-Day War, and it covered when Israel just devastated Gaza. And he had accounts that he saw himself of absolute murder and genocide and horrible things that the Israelis were doing. At one point, they had this guy strapped to a tree, and they had shot him in the leg, so the guy was starting to bleed out. And the Red Crescent came by with a couple guys in the car. Red Crescent is their equivalent of the Red Cross. And they're a medical thing, and they're you know, non-political, and they're just trying to help people deal with injuries and murder and all that stuff. And this car came by, and the Israeli soldiers stopped it, and they made one of the guys in the car get out, put a whole lighter over his head, and then they shot him in the chest. This medical worker. I mean, that is such barbarism, and this is Israeli stuff. And he was talking about how Obama and Kerry both have really gone out of their way to, even though Netanyahu claims otherwise, they've gone out of their way to really, really baby the Israelis along. And there's a lobby in Congress right now that wants to increase the aid we give them from $3 billion a year to $4.5 billion. Boy, what a mistake that would be. But it's probably going to pass, you know?
Right.
But
you know,
no, he had incident after incident that he was relating, and I was just in horror. And it was just in the little Gaza Strip. It's overpopulated to begin with. It's the heaviest concentration of population in the world. And they're just bombing these factories, these homes. 400 factories were destroyed in this little tiny area along the Mediterranean Sea there. And you know, it's just, and they've assassinated four of the the leaders in that area, and they've tried this last guy, and he's escaped them. But it's only a matter of time, I'm sure, before they get him too. But no, they rain drones on. They drain an ungodly amount of bombs. It's just, you know, and it's genocide is all it is. It's just arrogance and genocide unchecked.
You know, but here's the other side of that too, Jack. I mean, the anti-Israeli sentiment that is spreading through Western Europe
mm-hmm.
and through the United States too.
Right.
Is gaining a lot of momentum. I mean, there was a music festival this past weekend in Spain that
mm-hmm.
canceled the performance of the American Jewish rapper, I think you pronounce that, Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
He's a very talented young man. He's not a prejudiced man. He's, but then again, It was in the press that due to pressure from the anti-Israeli boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement,
mm-hmm.
They had him canceled because the artist wouldn't sign a pledge supporting the Palestinian state.
Yeah.
And
well, nobody likes genocide. Nobody likes genocidal leaders like Netanyahu that hide the truth and deliberately go ahead and bomb and destroy innocent people. That they see threats in areas that they're not there, and they blow it all up into nothing, literally blow it up, and figuratively blow it up too into something much bigger than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy he's crazy. They got to get him out of office.
Well,
yeah,
you know, Jack.
Yeah,
Bernie Sanders made a statement that I think can be applied here because we're really talking about cash flow, profit margins, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That Congress does not control Wall Street. Wall Street controls Congress.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a Bernie Sanders quote.
Very
and that's
true.
What we're dealing with here. Do you know how much armaments are being and profits are being made of selling armaments
to Israel, to do exactly what
we're talking about here? That's what we're really dealing with.
It's astounding. Yeah, it's just – and that's nothing to be proud of. We should be ashamed as hell to even think about it, let alone actually do it every single day of the week, every 366 days a year. It's disgusting,
mm-hmm.
man. We are guilty of so many economic crimes as well as political, all kinds of crimes that we're guilty of. And I'm not just being down on America. I'm telling the truth.
No. Right.
Let's make this point right now on this show right now. We all know this, but let's make sure our listeners know this. We're not here to bash America or American business or anything. We're just trying to bring to light evils that are out there that can and should be changed, controlled, or reversed. And that's the reason we're on this radio program every week. We're trying to highlight alternatives to insanity.
Well, we have to expose ourselves. It's like... There was a Civil War general who later became... I'm sorry, go ahead, Gwen.
There was
a Civil War general. Go ahead, Gwen. I'll let you go.
It's like, you know, there are certain Americans, Jack, I will bash. As a woman, I'm going to bash Huckabee right now.
Oh, sure.
Abortion for a 10-year-old rape victim. That's his platform down in Iowa.
By her father.
Mm-hmm.
Right, by her father. Incest as well. I mean, jeez.
Yeah. Well, and he's the same guy. He's so pro-life, and he's the same guy that says, what do we have a military for? This isn't a direct quote, but it just is there. What do we have a military for anyway? The military's job is to kill and destroy.
Right,
now, what kind of attitude is that?
Oh, that's a good Christian, Mary. Fundamentalist Christian.
And that guy's some kind of a deacon, you know?
Yeah, he's supposed to be a minister.
He's supposed
to be a
preacher, right. So. And I have to ask, this bit of turn the other cheek. You know, let's just go back and review. Who would Christ kill in the name of Christianity?
Good question.
I have to pose that question. That's right. It's called Socratic irony, by the way.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yep, I love that, how that's phrased.
And
it's so obvious, the answer is so obvious that it's just such a fallacy. And what they're doing is they're twisting everything. They're like the epitome of Fox News is what they are when they portray it as being Christian to do these things or to support Christianity.
You know, many wars, especially, like, let's take, for instance, the European wars that we just, World War One, World War Two, mm-hmm. all marched into battle because they had God on their side.
Yeah, that's so disgusting, and that's so dangerous.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's how you whip everybody up.
And I remember
your religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Germany was killing Jews because that's the way Jesus would have done it.
I remember in one of the 2004 debates, John Kerry, hoisted up on a petard George W. Bush and made the point that it's more important for us being on God's side, it's better for God to be on our side or something like that. I can't remember the exact context,
And
it made a lot more sense, and it was the truth.
Right. That's what the kind of hubris that W. brought into that office. He and Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was all about, you want to talk about, and which I want to get around to kind of come close the circle here, political abuses is really based on profit financial abuses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We went into Iraq because Halliburton, i.e. Dick Cheney,
mm-hmm.
and those contributed heavily to W. Bush's campaign.
Right.
Thought they had a chance to grab all those Iraqi oil wells by dethroning Saddam Hussein, and then the corporations were good there. And here, now I'm going to come up with a true story here. I was doing a project with a man named Marshall Shahoyan. He was on Nixon's staff in charge of radio and TV in the first four-year terms of Nixon. He left because he and Kissinger did not get along. He later on opened up a company called Page One Science in Old Town Alexandria. He was doing encrypted communication there. All right, I'm going to shift gears here like this doesn't relate. I heard with my own ears the verbiage of when they go into Iraq, the 101st Airborne was going to land, secure the oil wells, and then when the main battle forces get up to those oil wells, the 101st Airborne would then turn over those oil wells to Halliburton. I heard that was my ears.
That was sort of in the news a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it before it ever really. I heard it and was outraged.
Yeah, not enough people listened.
Before the news corporations finally came out and said, "Yes, this is what it was really about."
Yeah. And
I
all their non-bid contracts.
From the Pentagon,
that was corruption. Corruption with a capital C, just disgusting.
I had a 2-star general from the Pentagon. We went out to lunch, 3 of us, Marshall Shahoyan, myself, and him. And after a couple drinks, he just loosened up and openly said, "Look, this thing's all about grabbing the oil."
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, John Stuart Mill said, truth goes through 3 stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second is violently opposed, and third is being accepted as being self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was self-evident to me before the rest of the nation knew the truth.
Yeah. Well, I was always highly suspicious. I knew oil had to be behind it somehow, and Dick Cheney. He's such a sneak and such a liar and such a master manipulator. And that, you know, he basically ran the country during Bush's so-called administration.
Yeah. Right.
It's a misadministration.
And here's another point I like to bring out when I'm talking to these self-righteous conservatives is that all the profits from those no-bid contracts.
Oh, yeah.
It's sitting in Arab Dubai where the U.S. taxes will never be charged on that profit margin that's paid from that.
Well, that's why Cheney keeps going over there all the time. He loves going to Dubai.
Right. Traitorous and anti-American. I think that's the epitome of it right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. But then
Did you see this week where the young man who's the first openly gay NFL player has left the NFL because of his lousy chances for getting a draft?
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Michael Sands, and I think that's pretty rotten.
I think it's pretty revealing about the NFL too, and you know they had the Vikings had a guy that never came out, but a lot of people suspected him of being gay, but he came out strongly in support of them and against anti-discrimination, and they drummed him out of the system. So it's unbelievable.
This week, as well as Michael Sands leaving the NFL for a while, forever. I mean, that took courage. I admire the young man.
It did. Yeah, he turned down a lifetime of great profit, but you know what? Maybe he turned down a lifetime of miserable injury, too. Let's hope he finds something equally profitable and a lot safer.
Maybe he won't be drooling his pablum off his chin by the age of 40.
Yeah.
On the same note this week, a young man by the name of David Denson became the first openly gay player to come out on an MLB-affiliated team.
Major League Baseball. Yeah, I heard about that, too. Right.
Milwaukee Brewers minor leaguer who is openly gay. And Billy Beane, who is a former major leaguer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he never came out until after he left. He reached out to Milwaukee to tell the story about this young man. I just hope that the MLB has more class, as I think they do, than the NFL.
I think they do. You know, and I'll take the lady who owned a bar right next to the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome down here in Minneapolis, or up here in Minneapolis. She was a great place till they tore down the Metrodome. Now their bar is probably going to fold. Who knows? But at any rate, she had a nice back area that before Twins games and before Vikings games, that thing would be absolutely packed. They served the best brats in the world, great beers, any kind of drink. It was just awesome. And she said, I asked her one time, I said, Jody, what do you like better? Do you like the Twins fans or do you like the Vikings fans? She says, oh, no contest whatsoever. I love the Twins fans. Those Vikings fans, they're a bunch of cavemen. They're a different breed. They're a different breed. The football fan is a different breed than the baseball fan.
That's true. And another point about this young player, David Denson, he's also an African American. I think that really, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in this young man, you know. I really, really hope that baseball treats him well, you know.
I think baseball is less judgmental in that area, and I think there'll be a lot more. They'll just be paying attention to his achievements and his ability rather than the type of
his orientation,
all that stuff. Yeah, it shouldn't even be an issue anyway, but it is in some areas, you know.
While we're on the topic here, I want to wish my niece and her partner, who were married 4 years ago in Seattle, Washington,
happy anniversary.
Yes. Okay. So there you go. Yeah, and there's two very lovely young ladies.
All right.
Congratulations.
Sounds good. Them both. Both were overachievers, very intelligent, overachieving individuals, high-functioning adults.
Congratulations.
So. Well, thank you.
So what did Donald Trump do this week?
Hey, wait a minute. He flew a bunch of little kids all around.
There you go. That's got
my
vote.
Boy,
he flew a little kid in his helicopter.
In his helicopter. I thought that was, I was like, kudos. That's pretty cool, Trump.
Yeah.
Totally mugging for cameras and for sympathy. Yeah. And yet those little kids had the time of their lives. So, you know, that was pretty cool. He also came out with his he wouldn't tear the Iran deal up that Obama has created,
right.
And he came out with some of his policies, which includes, like, deporting all the parents of American-born kids that were, you know, their parents.
Oh, that were illegal immigrants,
The kids can stay because they're American citizens, but the parents have to go home, which comes around full circle of the downward pressure of keeping that subterranean economy of the illegals having, instead of being accepted and finding a pathway to become good citizens of this country, like what they really want to be.
Right.
They're going to threat of shipping them back, which keeps them working in a subterranean economy,
right.
i.e. the example I gave of someone paying somebody $5 an hour to do construction work instead of even the minimum wage of $7.50.
Yeah, he also came out against efforts to shut down Planned Parenthood, claiming correctly that they do a lot of good things for women. Now, what he's trying to do is cleverly get around the furor he raised with his comments to Megyn Kelly. But they're very important for a lot of women, and women's health issues need to be addressed, and they do that, and you know all this stuff he was talking about. But it's just him, trying to walk back what he wouldn't walk back previously.
Control. Right. It's a soundbite for damage control.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I've said.
The guy honestly doesn't seem to think he has to have any real strategy. I think he thinks that he can base his campaign on what he thinks is best for the country and blow bombastically through with that and win himself a seat in the Oval Office. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's egomania. Egomania is eating his brain away.
We're dealing with reactionary conservatism, which is what he's appealing to, and which I've said many times, you know, extremism, it's not going to have any longevity. But the problem is that when you see somebody, like I had this one guy, he was dumber than a clam, in a seafood market in Seaford, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of Mexicans that were working in that seafood industry, behind the counter, great guys, fantastic citizens of this country. Their children are complementary to being good, productive citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this guy now, dumber than hard crab, had his own little private border guard ball cap on, right? And then standing there while they're
up in Delaware,
giving him his seafood, right? Telling them that they should be going back to Mexico where they belong and stuff and get the hell out of here. And I'm like, and then he turns to me, right, and spouting this, you know, Sean Hannity kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, you're a special kind of stupid, aren't you? Here's
good
people handling your food, right, and you're giving them a ration of shit, right? I hope they're all taking a shit in the middle of your shrimp right now. But like I said, when you find these reactionary extremists like this guy, you're really dealing with people with very simplistic minds.
Yeah, they're very stupid people, ignorant.
Right.
What was he shell shocked? Did he just
No, no, it didn't take him like
did he argue with you?
It didn't even register.
Oh,
he
didn't register.
He just went into whatever else he was programmed to say about these damn Mexicans taking our American jobs and this kind of shit, right?
And this is up in Delaware,
Seaford, Delaware.
Yeah, he's real threatened by illegals up there, isn't he? What an absolute jerk.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like, Mexico, Texas or southern part of California stuff. Seaford, Delaware, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, and again, the Purdue, the Tyson, the chicken processing, meat processing
plants Purdue,
have brought them in by the busloads work. And there's, it's hard work, it's undesirable work.
Yes, right.
But, to make a better life for their children,
that
woman, the mother and the father are going to stand there on that production line dealing with the working conditions they have to deal with in hopes that their children get a better education and can become viable citizens of this country.
Yeah, very true.
But
Trump
says he wants to round them up and ship them back to Mexico. Leave the kids here like orphans.
He always makes those rash statements that are designed to appeal to the lowest common denominator because that's the kind of people that will stupidly support him and vote for him. So he likes the attention. It's, It's controversial, so he gets attention from the media on it, and that shows you how bankrupt our media is.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
When,
like
I saw, when I saw this week, when I saw a senior reporter pander, just absolutely pander to Trump just to get a soundbite, I was, I was absolutely shocked. It was like, you know, all I could think was, what would Ben Bradley or Ed Murrow say to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
you know,
that's just, I mean, the dive down into the deep ugly.
Yeah, it's really, well, journalism isn't
like
journalism
that,
anymore.
Journalism is not
journalism anymore.
No, it isn't.
Where you
it's all ratings based. It's all entertainment based to draw the highest ratings they can and steal them from another company. And it's just, you know, it is just we have an immense amount. We have more media than we've ever had before, and 99% of it's bullshit. You know,
right?
Just terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's
capitalism for you. Gotta get that money. Gotta get all the money you can. You know, that's capitalism. It's killing the country. It's killing
Schultz,
the world.
Jack, what's the latest with Ed Schultz? Has he found another venue to get his word out?
Well,
I think
he still had his radio program, and I think that's sustaining him right now. But
isn't he on the Clear Channel, like, you know, Randy Rhodes used to be or something? I mean,
I don't know if it's Clear Channel. It's on, what's that one that begins with a P? I forget now. Sirius and whatever is the other one.
Pandora?
Maybe it's Pandora. I'm not sure. But he's on, like, Sirius or something like that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's like there was a couple of women on a New York-based talk show. Her name is Just Jenny or something, and she's a commentator, a gal on the street kind of thing. And she's on Sirius, and one of her fans is Rosie O'Donnell. So Rosie called in to talk about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all over liking what she had to say, but it was very radical.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead and elaborate.
She basically said, you know, this testosterone-based bullshit war on women. You know, our grandmothers, mothers, and our mothers' mothers fought for our rights to vote and participate in politics and an equal economy, you know, well over 100 years ago. And now the war on women is all about women being unable to be involved in the political future.
Yeah.
And basically, because there's plenty of them in corporate. And if anybody's been paying attention to that, I don't use the word, that woman.
Carly.
Female. Yeah, Fiorina.
But
Trump went on to say that, you know, what Donald Trump said, intimated at, with bleeding out here and there and everywhere.
Said,
you know, he was intimating that she was, like, having her period. Well, any woman today who has a sense of themselves and is a part of the women's health community and women's awareness community understands that the menstrual cycle of women are, you know, it's a sacred passage. It's like the 13-year-old boy's passage into manhood. The woman goes through the same thing. And there are parallels to it. And Rosie's end comment was, you know, hey, listen, this jogger in the marathon who didn't make a radical statement, she had her period while she was running, and she didn't use any kind of, you know, Kotex.
Feminine products.
And she was bleeding, you know, and you could see that. And it was a political statement. And Rosie was agreeing with that political statement. I get it. I see it as a state. I wouldn't do it. But I see and respect the choice to make
she
that.
She should have had her run over to Donald Trump and sit in his lap.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I came across this today. Let me interject this one in. On October the 24th, 1975, the women of Iceland went on strike for equal rights. 90% of the women walked off their jobs and out of their homes, shutting down the entire country. The men could barely cope. The next year, Parliament passed a law guaranteeing equal rights. 5 years later, Iceland elected the world's first woman president. Now Iceland has the highest gender equality in the world.
That took place on October 24th, 1975.
I just ran across that today, or I mean this week, and I thought, now that we're talking about it, I thought I'd call it up and pass it on.
You know the choices Iceland made with the corruption of all the banking and everything when we had the breakdown.
Yeah, good for Iceland.
Yeah. They put them on trial, and they're serving time. We pandered to ours saying, well, we need them to help fix this economy so we won't press any charges against them. They got away scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
And that was they want to blame Obama. Obama could have changed it, but the deal was actually made by W. Bush.
Have you heard there's a movement underway now? I don't know who's sponsoring it, but it is receiving some notoriety. There is a movement to remove Alexander Hamilton from the $10 bill and replace him with a woman. And the debate is, which women should it be? And my vote would be for Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt was very good.
I'm for second.
Second to it was all right. I mean, but I like to go with more current and those who second to it just kind of guided Lewis and Clark. Okay, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Eleanor Roosevelt really was the big political power behind FDR and many of the policies.
Or
that
Frances
gave.
Perkins.
She just kind of. Excuse me. Double back here, gentlemen.
I didn't say it.
She
was a guide.
She was a guide. She was a young woman who chose to leave her home and family behind and help out strangers. I mean, just on that alone. I mean, what a simple kindness. And I think Eleanor Roosevelt would sit here and say that's a very good choice. She's a very old, feminine icon for this country.
But you think she will be chosen? I rather doubt it. I think they'll take one of the early women pushing for the vote and all that, suffragettes.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably Katie Stanton or whatever.
Katie Stanton. Mm-hmm. Compared to Eleanor Roosevelt.
No, really. Hey, I know, but that's what some names have been brought up.
Hey, Gwen, didn't we already have Sacagawea on the $1 coin?
No, that was Susan B. Anthony.
Sorry, my bad.
And that's the other name that was brought up is replacing Hamilton on the $10 bill.
I brought that same point up in Roundtree. I said, it's Susan B. Anthony has already been used,
Right,
and
right.
Even though we don't use it as currency anymore, I think that casts her aside as a candidate.
Yeah, that could be. But on paper money, it's all men now, so maybe they will have a woman on there, and it's just only, we'll see, but you never know. You never know.
Who would you put on, Jack? Who would you put on?
Oh, Eleanor Roosevelt.
You really?
I was going to say, I'd vote for Eleanor Roosevelt, too, myself, yes.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact,
very,
it was a very,
very influential first lady, despite the marital situation they had, and very, very influential. She pushed very hard for some of the more radical, if you will, New Deal things. Either that or
New Deal
Francis,
policies. Exactly
Francis
right.
Perkins. The first member of the cabinet, member.
Yeah.
She was tremendously. She was a big one behind Social Security. FDR gets all the credit, but she pushed for it. She designed it, and you know what, man, she'd get my vote for it.
Right. That's something else. You said that just triggered another thought in my head. Back in the day, FDR was called a socialist, and he was going to ruin this country and everything like that.
Just like Obama.
Right? So, so is Obama, and especially now, so is Bernie.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be jumping all over him.
Now,
although
I'm going to put all this.
That isn't drawing as much anger as it used to, or as it is. It means a lot less today. It's been tamped down quite a bit.
A social democrat does not mean a socialist, nor does it mean communism.
Exactly right.
It just means.
And Bernie's put out position papers. He's not trying to take over industry or have it state regulated or any of that stuff. He's already put out a lot of position papers on that. And everywhere he goes, if they ask him about that, he makes that distinction. So it's becoming less and less of a point that people can throw up against him. So, but again, as whether or not he'll gain the nomination, it depends on Hillary, doesn't it? You know, because he's head and shoulders above everybody else except her. He's still trailing her, although he's ahead in New Hampshire, and I think he's almost ahead in Iowa.
I can't help but think that Hillary Clinton is failing miserably at her campaigning right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
After another out there, and it's as if she's relying on the reputation of women, and you know she just doesn't seem to be as cagey as she needs. As cagey as I figure she is. She's simply
she might just be lying in the weeds waiting for that first debate, and then she's going to try and smother everybody else. Then we don't know, but she's been pretty docile.
She has. I agree, and she's been very controlling of the press, so they're not going to ever be
always
nice
will be.
To her. They're never going to be nice to her, but they want the camera on her though. So she has to do her own walking, but now they're talking about Joe Biden making a run, and I can't think of one reason in the world that he could or would. Why would he run?
Well, they say that his dying wish from his son was that he would run for president and make a run at the White House. And to honor that wish, he may do it, but he hasn't done it yet. So we'll see.
Well, also, I'm going to say from a firsthand kind of perspective, because he's really on the northern part of that peninsula I grew up on.
Right.
The Delmarva Peninsula, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
He's already run for the president, two, three times?
He has,
Corporate Tony.
And, you know, it just didn't pan out for him. I think, you know, he's vice president. He's been a very good vice president.
Yeah, he has been, really.
He is up in age.
Am I hearing
I think – say that again, Glenn.
You know, he's been just fine as a vice president. He hasn't really inspired me. I know he's a nice guy. I've shaken his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
He's a corporate toady.
Yeah.
He's in the pocket.
Like much of the Democratic establishment.
He's a DuPont toady.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a corporate toady. He's in the back pocket of the bank.
You're exactly right. He's from the Wilmington area, and Wilmington is the land of DuPont.
Oh, yeah. They
absolutely
dominate it big time.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Brandywine River up there, that's where, in the colonial times, they started the gunpowder mills.
Yep.
That's right. That is absolutely
right. Like I said, this is my backyard of my home. I know exactly what you're saying.
And like Monsanto, they polluted a lot of our environment with chemicals and crazy stuff. And, you know, they're just another one of those.
Well, asbestos, genetically modified foods that they're saying,
it's
really not too healthy for you to be eating.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
right.
Not going to stop them anymore.
Well, I only pounced on the name because folks will recognize it as a huge corporation. The truth in the back pockets of all the largest major money movers and lenders and banks in the country that funnel, that have to have an anchor.
I was going to say, Wilmington, Delaware was the first ones to deregulate the banking industry, so a lot of the banks moved their headquarters there. Again, we're talking about the banking industry that has got Congress here to say, all those checks and balances that were put in the first year when Obama took over in the Democratic Congress, well, for the Republicans to approve the budget this past winter, they said all these checks and balances have to be removed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which just set us right back up to where we were when they destroyed the economy in the Bush era.
Yes, exactly.
We're right
back
to where we were.
Excuse me, gentlemen, we're almost out of time, and I did want to mention one thing big time on this show. This week, some really, really bad news. Bad news.
Yes. I'm glad you're bringing this up.
And really, really great man. And, you know, it's just, you know, a matter of time, I suppose. But we found out this week that President Carter has
liver cancer. Yeah.
Right.
It's
and also the great civil rights leader just passed at 75 here.
Yes. Bond.
Yeah, there you go, right.
Yeah.
But President Carter, that was my first vote. I was 18. That was my first vote.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were so much younger than I was.
Yeah.
It was my best vote. It was my best vote ever.
Yeah. Well, he's been the best ex-president in history, bar none, really.
Absolutely.
Without question,
He's very strong, but most important, he's a really kind man.
He really is.
Philanthropic.
Yep. Well, we'll toast him more as time goes on. We'll see what happens. He's up there in years now too, but that's even so, you hate to see anybody be afflicted with that. So we'll see how he does. You know, all that stuff.
Which gets me back to the John Stuart Mill quote: "All truth passes through three stages."
Right.
He was ridiculed. Well, he put those solar panels on top of the White House, right? The first thing Reagan did was have those damn things removed as soon as he went into the White House.
Yep.
If we'd followed him, we would have been much more ahead of the game in alternative energies. But we couldn't have that. Not at that time, right? I mean, Reagan and everybody else bought it. They ridiculed him. Then they violently opposed him. And as time goes on, in the third and final set, what the legacy of Jimmy Carter is, it's self-evident of what he really did for this country.
Yeah, great things, no doubt about
it. And now the world.
Yep, very true.
The peace agreement between Israel and Egypt still stands today.
It still does. Isn't that incredible? A good lasting
from the Camp David
Accord memory. Yep.
And Camp David is located in my home state of Maryland.
Yep, very good. Well, he kept pushing forward, and I'm urging all our listeners to do that too. I'm just going to say in passing real quick, I hope next week that we'll be able to interview a key person over at Free Speech TV. I've talked about Free Speech TV quite a bit. She'll be able to tell us right out of the horse's mouth exactly what they're about, what they're trying to do, and what she does for them, and give us a little bit of background on upcoming shows that they're offering and things like that. So hopefully we'll have Heather Schreck with us on next Sunday, but I'm not guaranteeing anything quite yet. I still haven't gotten a confirmation from her. But if not next Sunday, it'll be eventually. So,
well, very good, Jack. I think it'll be quite a little accomplishment there. So.
Great. Well, thanks, both of you folks. You're great people, and nice talking with you again. And I'll let you say the final word there, Gwen.
I just want to leave on an upbeat. I think that it's important, like you say, keep pushing forward. You know, this week, there was a decision in Amsterdam. The Dutch citizens, they sued their government over inaction on climate change.
Good.
And
they won.
And the thing is,
they won. That's the big
Dutch
thing.
Holland has got more windmills and generating 100% of their electrical needs, and plus the surplus they're selling to Germany.
Yep.
Well,
and that's what this country is still that far behind.
Gentlemen,
incredible, isn't it?
We are.
Well, have a great week, everybody. I wish you the very best. Keep pushing forward, and we'll solve this crazy mess that we've inherited.
I'm
going to
say,
well, some point
we keep pushing forward
and
keep bringing it up, and the people can make the proper decisions they need to. So
that's right.
Good
Sounds
night, all.
Good.
It's been a pleasure.
Yep.
I'll talk with you all next week.
Thank you again, Gwen, for the opportunity. It's been grand. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks so much, Jerry.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Jim. Yeah. Sunday show on Here We Come.